Okay, guys, welcome to Crane Christian Church. It's our first live stream. I guess technically, if you're old, this would be Sunday school. If you're more, you know, close to 35 like I am, this is just first service, okay? Okay, so we're still in Mark, and I just want to tell you, sometimes, how many of you know sometimes it's good to be honest? Sometimes? Rarely, okay, once in a while for you. But here's the deal, guys. This week, as I have studied, prayed, I was reminded of some things, and we're going to get into it several times during the service. During communion, we're going to get into it, and probably in worship, we're going to get into it. But my favorite psalms are not when David's going, yeah! My favorite psalms is when he is saying, the tears are covering my pillow, because it gives me permission when I'm dealing with people who are going through something. When I'm going through something, it gives me permission to say, you know what? Even when you're called, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth to be the man or woman God's called you to be, guess what? In this life, there will be little, just this much. Everybody do this. This much. With shoulders, legs, motorcycle wrecks, you know, relationships. Just little things. Okay. Minor. Whiner?
It's minor.
Oh, minor. I thought you said whiner. No. Well, that's true, too, about some things. You know, if the coffee's not right. Anyway. Okay. Okay. We're in Mark. And we're going to do a quick review, which means nothing when I say quick, but it is a review. Mark 1 and 32, it says, now at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him, being Jesus, all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, but he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Two things that we want to review out of this. Number one is, because what we're going to get to today is Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Okay, if pattern follows itself, we've got enough time. But, because he did that, didn't he? And made everybody mad, bless their heart, as we say in the South, bless their heart. Okay, but on the other hand, here he is honoring the tradition of, you know what, because this is not work for him to heal. He is our healing, okay? But anyway, but he is doing that, and he's also saying, hey, you guys be quiet because it's not time. How many of you know God's got time? Everything's according to his time. And here's the deal. God cares. It's all about the redemption of humankind. When I read the Bible, there's a couple of words that I always remember. Number one is seed. When you're reading in Genesis and you're wondering, why is he putting up with this? Why is he doing this? Why? That is the seed of what Yeshua, Jesus, our Savior, is going to come from. You don't throw away your seed, right? Okay. So, anyway. And then in 144, which we covered. Okay, there it is, 141. We covered last week also. There's this leper. Now, I want you to think about this. This is a contagious, horrible, uncurable by human standards in those days, disease of leprosy. There were rules about coming in the place, unclean, so everybody can move back. Everybody got that? Remember that? Some scholars say they were actually, because if they actually had to go to the city, they actually rang a bell, so because they got tired of saying unclean, okay? So that they would look, and then once they see them, they know they are lepers, okay? So here's the deal. In our society, We have now divided all up, and everybody's got their corner. You got your religious corners, you got your political corners, you got this. And I want to tell you something. I refuse to discount people because Jesus died on the cross for them. There are people out here pointing fingers. They're the problem. These are the problem. That guy's a problem. That girl's a problem. This person's a problem. No, the problem is that the Church of Jesus Christ has not been a shining light that it was meant to be, so that, and we're not loving one another. And I mean, Kim is a perfect wife. Y'all know that, right? Okay. But once in a while, she could possibly irritate me just this much, you know? So just this much. Okay. Anyway, but her mom's here. She's perfect. So that's where she learned it. Okay. So, but here's the deal. What he did, he said, because of this, he said, Jesus moved with compassion. So in this review, I want to ask you, where's your compassion? You just have compassion for people who think like you think? You have just compassion for people that are your color? You just have compassion for people that are whatever? And guys, I want to tell you that Jesus, God is what?
Love.
Okay. And love, I get emotional about love, okay, but love is a verb, okay? It's what we do, it's what we choose, it's what we do, okay? So he said, I am willing, and he was cleansed. And I want to tell you something, love heals. Love heals. So as I was reading this scripture, now we're starting on this week, okay? It threw me down in a place that I think we need to talk about. In Luke 10, if you want to go there, you can. There's a guy traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. I used to do a sermon just from Jerusalem to Jericho, okay? And this guy's walking, he's minding his own business. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he is delivering wine, or if he's I don't know what he is. It doesn't say. He's just somebody. Okay. He's just walking. Might have been carrying water. Might have been working for Coca-Cola. I don't know. Okay. But that'd been a little early for that probably. But he's going down there, or maybe just going down there to see his grandma. Okay. But on the way, he is beaten, robbed, and left naked on the side. He's stripped on the side of the road. And he can't help himself. Now, I want to pause a minute right there. We were in the garden. I'm talking about humankind, not me and you. Okay. We were in the garden. Everything was perfect, right? Okay. Except for the guy who showed up looking like a snake, okay, and tempting us, and we fell, and we were stripped of our innocence. We were all right, but when that happened, we tried to fix it ourselves. We're gonna sew them leaves together. We're gonna put it on us, to cover our shame, and it worked as long as just them two together. But guess what? God has a way of showing up, and when He shows up, they hide because it ain't working. Because He sees past the work of our flesh, the work of our hands. And then they have a conversation. They have a confession. Of course, they all blame each other, okay? Which is nothing I would do, but something other people might or might not do. But anyway, but the point being this, watch this. Then something has to die. He takes its skin and covers them with skin to cover the first blood sacrifice that's recorded that I know of. So here's the deal. That's a picture that's happened, but this is another picture. So who comes by first? Okay. The first guy that comes by, he's laying there. He's having the worst day of his life, probably. Okay. I don't know him personally, but I'm guessing it would be the worst day of my life so far. Okay. So he's walked, the priest is walking along. He's got things to do. He's got religious duties to do. He's got this. He's got to get to church. He's got to get the lights turned on. So whatever, got to get right. Does he stop?
No.
Because he don't want to get his hands dirty. And I want to tell you something. That's a picture of where religion, where this thing we call church, rather than going to church, we need to be the church. Okay, not trying to be funny. I go to church 2 to 3 times a week. I study during the week. Getting together, we talk about that Wednesday night. Y'all probably tired of hearing that. Where it's essential. Okay, but what's this? He goes right by because he does not feel, does not see, does not have the heart of a brother, of a father. Because he's got more important things. Then the Levite, who is a legalist, legalism walks by. Because, you know, if he hadn't done that, he wouldn't be in that position. He should have had this. What kind of stupid person does that? What kind of, right, blaming the victim. I see it every day. Okay, blaming the victim. It's the here's the deal. Until you are a victim, I will never forget, I was at a victims conference in Kansas City. Had a wonderful beat up Crown Vic issued to me by the County of Stone. The brakes worked sometimes, okay. All the doors were locked. Everything was parked where a place should have been parked in the parking lot of that conference. The doors were locked. I always lock the doors because there's stuff in there I don't know how to get. Okay. And guess what? I came back. Somebody had broke in to my police car in Kansas City. That always gives me a warm feeling about Kansas City. And stolen some things that were very valuable to me. So guess what I did? I called the police. The police showed up and they laughed at me. They thought it was funny. They did take a report. And I walked in the door of this conference and these ladies that were part of the same, I was actually, didn't come with them, but they were actually knew me from down here. They saw me and they just stopped. And they go, Bubba, what's wrong? I said, what's wrong? I said, I'm slightly irritated. It was a similar thing I said to that, kind of. And they said, well, what's wrong? I said, well, if they broke into my car, and KCPD thinks it's funny. And it was slightly irritating. Because at least they could have done and said, man, I'm sorry, you know, what a mess. What, you know, sad you can't put this out here in the middle of the day. And so anyway, whatever. Okay. So the point being is they're legalist. But I did everything I could do. This guy beside the road, he did it. I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay. But he was a victim. And then, okay, this guy comes walking by. He's a Samaritan, a Jew, and this is a story that Jesus tells, okay? But your typical religious Jewish person at that point would have called them a half-breed who is not worshiping like they're supposed to. They don't worship the right place. They're not the right bloodline. But this guy shows up because you think he might in his life been put down, treated bad. You think at some point he might have been? And he looks at that guy and he says, oh man. He puts him on his own donkey, takes him to where he needs to go, pays the guy and says, hey, 2 denarii, and says, hey, I'll be back through here. I got to take care of some business. So we know he's a working man, okay? So I got to take care of some business, but I'm coming back through here and I'll take care of anything you need. Now, which one of them do you want to be? I want to be the helper, okay? You know why? Because I need a helper who is the Holy Spirit. I need a Savior who is Jesus Christ. So I'm going to plant those seeds of help in the people around me. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about personal responsibility. I'm all about people acting right. Y'all know me, okay? I can be a redneck. But here's the deal, man. I'm dead serious. I want to be that guy. And here's what happened. Jesus exemplifies that guy when he reaches out of compassion and touches that leper. Well, now we're in chapter 2. I love this. I've preached it many times. So how many people do you usually have for pallbearers? Yeah. I know the answer. It's a quiz. Okay. So usually you got 6 people that, you know, of course, if they get cremated, they're just little bitty handles. I'm just kidding. Okay. But the point being is this. Okay. You usually have 6 people carry you, at least traditionally, you know, in and out your last little, though you got 6 friends, loved ones, family, something carry you. Okay. So here's the deal. Jesus is in Capernaum, and they found out, because, you know, he's been telling everybody not to tell anything, but they tell everything, okay? And many gathered together. There's no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. So he's in his house preaching, and there's 4 guys, 4 friends. I'm going to call it the 4 friends. And they're carrying this guy because he can't walk. And they know what he needs. He needs Jesus. And they will not be denied. That's a song my mama used to lead. I will not be denied. And when she sang it, you believed it. Okay. And if you didn't believe it, you should. Okay. So the point being is this. These guys, they try to get him in. They can't. And when they can't, they say, you know what? Let's try the roof. And I want you guys to think about this in the context of now. This is a wonderful story, and we will finish it maybe at some point. But I want you to think about it in the context of now. There are some people that when they drive by here, I know this for a fact, because this person is now born again and on fire for Jesus, and I love him so much. But he used to see this church, and he'd say, he was raised in church, he'd say, what kind of person would go to a church like that? And you know what God did? God brought him right there and saved his soul, and I baptized him. And now he is, I'm pointing at an empty pew, by the way, in case anybody's wondering, because he's not there. He is doing exactly what God's called him to do. Okay, he's somewhere else going to the next step. And here's the deal, guys. You need to be Jesus where you're at, up to the Walmarts. Okay, you need to be Jesus where you go, up to the doctor's office, up to, and I'm not saying you carry a sign and you got a belt buckle, and I mean, everybody does it differently. But here's the deal, guys. Reflect him where you are, okay? So as they do that, they're going to do something different. They start taking the roof apart, which was probably offensive to some people. Like if I was a homeowner, you know, it's probably a little different there than it would be at my house if you had to tear the roof off. I wonder if what my insurance would say about that. I have to think about that. Anyway, but the point being is this. They lowered him down, and verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, it doesn't say his faith, and everybody needs somebody around them helping them where they're weak, don't they? Amen. And we got to walk around like, well, you know, I'll use a perfect filter on this and I'll look perfect and everybody will think I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. When in fact, you know, there's none righteous. No, not one. Okay? So that's why I don't throw rocks. Because, you know, somebody liable to pick them back up and throw them back. Anyway, no, but anyway, I don't want people to throw rocks at me. So he literally doesn't say, okay, he's healed. And he said, but what he does it like this. He said, son, your sins are forgiven of you, which made everybody mad that wasn't getting forgiven. Because in their culture, he had just said, I'm God. And guess what? He was. Merry Christmas. Yeah. He is God. Okay? So, anyway, he said, immediately when Jesus perceived their spirit, they reasoned with themselves because it made everybody mad, blah, blah, blah. Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But so that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Mm-hmm. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Oh man, that gets me worked up, as you can tell. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. And they were all amazed and glorified. And God said, we ain't never seen nothing like this. Had they? Yeah. Okay. So it was a couple of things. It was controversial. Because people now like things that are controversial, you know. So they could be right about that guy's wrong. That guy, no. Here's the deal. It also gave this story legs. You're not going to believe what happened at Billy Roy's house the other night. You ain't going to believe it. They tore the roof off the house and let this guy down there. And then the rabbi says, hey, your sins are forgiven. Can you believe he said that? That thing got legs. I mean, it just went pow, right? Can you imagine? Door to door in the Jewish community. This, and then that guy's been sick his whole life. He's been laying there forever. He's paralyzed. And then he got up and walked out and carried his stuff with him. You think that guy might have got a little attention? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you some things that's gotten attention in my life. I've known people that didn't even believe there was a God. How could there be a God? If there was a God, how could this happen? Because they're using their intellect to try to find spiritual answers. Intellect's good. Don't take your brain out, okay? But here's the deal. I've seen those people go from there to singing the song of the redeemed. Guess what? It's real. It's true. So down this same path, then you got a little more controversy. Don't you like controversy? Not really. But here it is. I like it when Jesus has already worked it out. How's that? So we're in verse 13, 2 and 13. And he went out by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, saying, follow me. Now, I want you to think about what he just did. He just went to the traitor of the town, the person who was voted least likely to be loved, okay? He's your local, okay, never mind, I'm gonna go there. So, but the point being, just imagine in your mind somebody that you'd bring and say, okay, let's go home and eat. That everybody is like, what? And he went to his house, and many tax collectors and sinners, so separate than the tax collector sinners, he's got just a whole house full of mess there, okay? And guess what? He is sitting there with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collector and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that when he eats and drinks with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus heard it and said to them, now guys, This is in red. What does that mean? Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, guys, this is not, we don't, Jesus is very clear as we keep, as you work your way through the Gospels, he's very clear. This is not like a license. Oh, now I got a license. I can do anything I want. Yeah, you know, I'm a sinner and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but what it does do is it removes, therefore there's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus, okay? It removes our condemnation, but it also, I want to tell you, literally, guys, what God's called us to be is representatives of a better way. We represent a better way, okay? And in my life, and other pastors, and other teachers, and other leaders, and other politicians, and other kings, and all of this, we still remember some of the things they did, right, that weren't so hot. Okay, we spent months with David. But in the midst of that, we know, okay, that God had a plan for his life. And I need a physician. Because of sin, I have places in my life that are sick. Okay. I have things that are broken. And I live a life of repentance. But here's the deal, guys. Then they get into legalism. Why are you guys not fasting like everybody else is fasting? And here's the deal. I think it's interesting when you look, because these guys couldn't do that when they were griping, because they had no idea what was going to happen. Or some of them, okay, whatever. But here's the deal. You realize most of these guys following him were going to be tortured, imprisoned, martyred. I mean, someday we'll get out to Fox's Book of Martyrs and go through it. It's tough to read. But the first time I read that book, it was a tough thing, what happened to this person. Then actually, even the next generation of Christians and what they had to go through. So Jesus is like, hey, you know, this ain't the time for that. There's going to be time for suffering, for fasting, for prayer. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. But this verse 21, how many of you have been here at least 10 years to church? How many have been here at least 15 years? So some of y'all might can help me. Okay, remember, I preached on this scripture for a year. Okay, and I don't mean this. Yeah, I do mean this scripture. Just all the different ways that we have tried to sow, to take this garment and sew an unshrunken patch on it, and how we've tried to put this new wine in these old bottles and how it don't work, okay? And we have to open our mind. One time we were in a meeting downstairs, and I told this, I haven't said it in several years, I don't think. But 22 years ago, when I was meeting with the elders and deacons here at the church, and I was talking, we were talking about some things, just doesn't matter what. But the point being is this, guys, I came up here afterwards, and in prayer, I saw a very interesting thing in this room. I saw my role in this church. And that was to put anybody ever jacked up a car? Okay. One side of the jack was on this wall. The other side of the wall, jack was on this wall. And I was going, ee-ee-ee-ee-ee. Yeah, that's my favorite noise. Yeah, it's not PJs anymore. But anyway, what it was making it bigger so that, I'm not talking about the amount of people. I'm talking about that God's Spirit, God, that we could actually do something outside of this narrow, look here, he's doing this. That's what the, and God's done that exact thing. He's done that exact thing. And it's nothing wrong with the way it was. It's not that I see darkly, you know that. But guys, I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to have two doors in the front, two doors in the back, and people coming in winders, you know. And I actually attended a church at one point where the history of that church was, there was only like 150, 120 or whatever going at that point there. But the history of that church was, is that on Sunday mornings, there would be so many people there that they would raise all the winders. And people would stand out in the yard so that they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be a part of what God was doing. Okay? You think that's because people, I mean, same reason people wait in line to go to a restaurant, because they're hungry. Okay? And I want to tell you guys, here's the deal. This church has turned into a place where everyone's welcome. And we want you here, whether you're online or in person, and God bless you. And he is he's bringing us all closer to him. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's get in those new wine and new wineskins, and so that we don't lose anything. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Now, I want you to think about this. My daddy used to, about twice a week, would get green peanuts in the hole, okay? They'd never been parched, never been roasted, never been nothing. And he would put them in a little pan and put them in the stove at some degree, I don't know what it was, and then he'd get up about every 10 minutes and go in there and shake them. And all then after that, once they cooled off, praise the Lord, you just ate them, and to eat them, they were good, okay? Well, that's what they were doing, except without the, they were just going through, and they were hungry, and it's like getting that and doing like that and eating it. And these people were such legalists, they'd rather people go hungry than to, I ain't talking about getting out the tractor and going to work. I'm talking about going through and get you a little bite as you go through. It's like picking an apple off a tree and wiping it off. Why, you're harvesting. I'm hungry. Is that what this is? Is that what it says? Okay, that's the context of this. And then the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what's not lawful on the Sabbath? We call them nitpickers. Do y'all know what a nit is? That's a lice before it grows out. Okay. And anyway, we'll keep going. It makes my head itch. Okay. All right. So then he said to them, have you never read what David did when he's in need and hungry, and he and those around him, how he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And this means, when it says man, this means human, okay? Child of God. By the Sabbath, therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Is God God?
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, I failed right here. And I'm not, listen, your body is designed that it needs a day of rest. You need to rest, you know, with propping your feet up and taking a nap or, you know, whatever it is. Of course, Jesus is our Sabbath. And somebody was asking me the other day, said, you know, why do you, and I said, well, because I'm wired a little different than most people, you know. But anyway, but that's not wonderful. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. Now it is the Sabbath, okay. What did he do the day before, or the chapter before? He did not heal us. He waited till it got the sunset, okay, so it'd be okay. And he came, and they were watching him closely, see if it healed him on the Sabbath. And he said, step forward. And he said to him, is it lawful on Sabbath to do good or evil, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Think about that. Jesus is here, and they had rather accuse one another, rather be mean to one another, to be right, okay, and care less about the person that they're doing that to. I don't want to be that guy. Do you want to be that guy? When I stand before the Lord, I'll have a lot to account for, okay? But I don't want to be that guy. I want to say, you know what, Lord? I tried my very hardest to be good to the people around me. And he says, is it lawful to do it? And he looked around with them, anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other one. And the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Okay, I'm going to be careful with this example, and then we'll quit. Good. Okay, my watch is actually running. Okay, so here's the deal. Narrow is the gate that goes to him. Does that make sense? Narrow is the gate to eternal life. Narrow is the gate. Now, I could take that statement and say, we'll tell you, the problem with us getting in that gate right now is them long goatees. That's the problem. Problem is women wearing breeches, okay? The problem is everybody's supposed to have a beehive hairdo, even the men, okay? The PhD, okay? The problem is women don't know their place. The problem is men don't know their place. The problem, okay, right? And I can use that to be the biggest finger pointer condemner in the world. And that's been used for that, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That gate is exactly as narrow as it says it is. Mm-hmm. But it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with him, and the shape of that gate is the cross of Jesus Christ. And as we go through that gate, we kind of changes the way we, right? Mm-hmm. But you just can't say, well, you know, I'm going to bring this with me. No, it kind of, we all just kind of have, it's this shape right here. You become a picture of what it is. And do I do it perfectly? No. Do I do it good? Some days better than others. But no, seriously. Okay. But here's the deal. Narrow is that gate. So quit trying to drag all your rules with you and doing that to somebody else. Okay. Because they might have some rules that you're not following. You know, we won't get into the ham and shrimp. Okay. All right. So anyway, but here's the deal. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to save a life or kill? And you realize that there was a waiver during that time that if your ox got in the ditch. And hey, I love beef. Don't get me wrong. Okay, I had some, last night. Okay, I love beef. But I love people a lot more than beef. Okay, and there's a lot of people that are in the ditch today that need the love and acceptance and grace of Jesus Christ. So what are we going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? Are you going to be that person? Are you going to be that person? Okay, the problem in this world is this person. The problem in the world is this person. No, the problem in this world is the guy that I shave occasionally. Okay, not every day, but regularly, okay, and that's me. So, Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you give us a beautiful picture of love, grace, and mercy in your new covenant, God, that is in the shape of a cross. So, Lord, let us be the men, the women, the church, the people you've called us to be. And Father, I repent of my attitude sometimes. I repent all the time, but my attitude's bad sometimes. And God, I just help me to be the man you call me to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you, keep you, let his light shine on you, give you peace. We'll be back in about 40 minutes. God bless you.